The following is Shui Shui Tan's talk. Your mobile experience is not theirs, from the 2013 Information Architecture Summit.
The 2013 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by User Interface Engineering. Stay tuned after the podcast for a special offer from UIE.
How many times you hear someone says, Asia is a few years behind the West, or South Africa is 10 years behind the US, or this country is falling behind and that country is catching up? We make such a conclusion about a country in terms of their infrastructure, their education, their economy, and so on and so on. It seems like it always has to be the case where one country has to lead and others have to catch up. This sounds a bit like human evolution, doesn't it? I'm sure you guys are familiar with this linear human evolution, where we all start from apes with big jaws and then evolve to become the modern man, the advanced man. Very straightforward, start simple and end advanced. But the truth is, evolution is nothing like this at all. This is a real evolution. No one is advanced. Chimpanzee is living alongside with spider monkey and human, and all exist together. It all starts from one base and evolves differently throughout the century. Some might grow well and survive, but some might die out along the way. It's the environment that influences how each creature evolves. And each creature finds their niche and evolves based on their environment. This sounds a bit like mobile evolution, isn't it? It's not what and how we're trying to evolve to become like San Francisco, the modern man. To say someone in India to evolve to become someone in San Francisco in terms of how they use mobile phone, that is utterly rubbish, because we don't and we can't expect every one of us to become the hipsters in San Francisco in the next 10 or 20 years, and I'm sure you guys don't want that too. Or maybe you do, I don't know. You can say people around the world is adopting, but they are definitely not trying to become one of us. What we need to do is to understand the niche and to understand the market, the world of our users. That's what I hope I can share with you today. Mobile is growing not just in the West. Even though a lot of applications are built and designed in Silicon Valley, the market is actually outside the US. In fact, the growth is in Asia. Within 2 years, the mobile traffic has increased almost 200% in Asia. So we have to stop thinking that US or the West is the ultimate destination in the whole evolution process. What shaped the evolution niche is culture. But culture is such a big fat word because it consists of many aspects. And each aspect changes based on the environment and it shapes how a society evolves. And the first aspect to culture is language. In Asian countries such as China, traditionally the writing is written from right to left, from top to bottom. And this is one of the books that I used to read when I was a kid. However, in the modern world, it has been adapted and the writing has changed. So everything has been printed from left to right horizontally, just like in the West. It's definitely the case in the digital world. So the first one is Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. A lot of time I was being asked, how do languages which do not use Latin alphabets being key in or input on desktop or mobile phone? Do they use the same keyboard as we do in the West? Chinese characters, or simply traditional Chinese characters, are being input using pinyin. By using pinyin, users will be able to key in Chinese characters using the same keyboard as we do in the West. So for example, if I want to type 手机, which is mobile phone in Mandarin, you will type S-H-O-U, and then a list of characters with the same pronunciation will appear, and then you choose the one which is right. And it's the same for the second word, D. And some touchscreen devices or smartphones, they have built-in writing recognition software where you will recognize the words that you write. So you write the characters, it will show you the characters. Let's look at another language which is a bit different, Korean Hangul writing. So you can see they have the same number of keys on the keyboard as we do in the West. And if we map each key against Korean consonants and vowels, you can easily see how it works. So take the mobile phone example again, which is called Handupon in Korean. So first one, I will type H, and then the next one will be AE. And you can see two letters combined into one character now, and N. And then it's the same for Ju and Pon. So mobile phone in Korean, which is called Handupon, is made of these three characters. With this different type of writing system and also input method, you will think that it will take a long time to key in and it looks cumbersome. But the truth is, Hangul writing is extremely digital friendly. Because of the structure of the writing, you can easily type Korean faster than English. And in fact, in a lot of big text message contests, Koreans often place number one. So don't make assumptions. If you are to design for users in different countries, get to understand how their language works, because you will be surprised what you will find out. This demo did a research back in August 2012, focusing on Apple App Store for iPhone and iPad, looking into whether localization of applications by languages will increase revenue or encourage downloads. And what they find out is that countries such as Germany, France, Italy, applications in English are still gaining most revenue. However, it's a different story in China, Japan, and Korea. Consumers in these countries are more eager to pay for applications in their native language. Having your apps and websites in local language is vital. But this is not a big finding, is it? Because a lot of people already know you need to have a local language if you are going into a new market. But it is so often that the big clients or the big companies that will look at all the content they have on their website and say, okay, we can translate these parts, but we can't really translate the other parts because of the restriction of the CMS or the deadline of the project. So let's do that now. Just translate this part. This is such a big no-no because translating part of the content of your website is going to do more harm than good, because more cognitive effort is needed for users to switch between languages. And in a lot of users testing, we saw users in these markets often have negative impression on the company because they think they just couldn't be bothered to spend more time or effort to translate everything for us. So translate it all, or sometimes it's better to just wait and do nothing about it until you are ready to translate everything. An online travel agent that we work has a big market in Asia, and they come to us and say they have spent millions of pounds trying to translate the whole website for their Malaysian users. But for some reason, they don't see any increase in profit. And in fact, they see a high number of language switch when they defaulted the site in Malay. And they ask us why. In countries like Malaysia, its population comprises of different ethnic groups. For example, Malay, Chinese, so like me, I'm Malaysian-born Chinese, India, and the other small ethnic groups as well. And each of them speak different language like Malay, Tamil, Mandarin, and a lot of different dialects. But what this company didn't know is that English is widely spoken in this country. Many businesses in Malaysia conduct their transaction in English, and a lot of time, English is being used in official correspondence too. So Malaysian users are very used to visit website in English. So when you get into a new market, don't rush into translate everything, anything before you do some research on the market. Because once you understand the market, that might save you millions of dollars or pounds. Another important aspect to culture is infrastructure. South Korea and Japan are the two Asian countries that has been the leader in terms of infrastructure and technology. And both of them are one of the first adopters of 3G. South Korea has the fastest mobile speed in the world. And of all their mobile connections, 93% are in 3G. But it's very different in China, because the majority of Chinese mobile users, although their population are big, but the majority of them are still using 2G to access internet. So what they do is they normally will fetch their data on their mobile phone when they're at home using Wi-Fi, slow Wi-Fi, and then use it when they're on the move. it's a very different story in Hong Kong, which is still part of China, because more than half of the Hong Kong people are using unlimited 3G mobile data plan. And it is estimated that it will only take a year for 4G to surpass 3G in Hong Kong. And when you're designing applications or mobile site for different markets, you have to remember that what is being used in the West here might be a lot different at the other end of the world, because it's not just iPhone, HTC, Samsung, or Nokia anymore. It has a lot of local brands such as Huawei, ZTE, Sharp, Lenovo. And don't forget the copy and clone version, the Shanzai version. So remember, your apps will be used on these devices that you will never see or get to hold in your hand. Some of you might have already come across dual SIM phone that you will use it to hold your personal and business numbers, or you'll use it when you travel to hold your local and home SIM cards. But in developing countries such as India, two is not enough because they need four. And they have completely different reasons for using that. In India, it is usually cheaper for them to call someone on the same network than someone on the different network. So the easiest and cheapest way for them to do is to have a phone that holds four SIM cards with four networks, so they can choose whichever they want, and depending on the network that the other person is using. This is a photo. You can see the guy here is playing games on his phone, and another guy is watching a streaming rerun of a TV show. This photo is taken in 2007 on a bus in Korea. 2007, that is before smartphones are even very popular. So they are ahead of us. Remember the linear human evolution diagram I showed you earlier on? Where would this scenario fit into that diagram? Is South Korea still the apes or the advanced man? Or San Francisco is still the advanced man? None of them are, because each of them find their niche and they grow accordingly. Another aspect to culture is social norms. If you want to understand the social norms of the most Asian countries, you will need to know this man, Confucius, who is a Chinese philosopher who died 2,500 years ago, and his teachings have great influence in China, Japan, Taiwan, Malaysia, and Singapore. And it emphasizes collectivism. Individualism is negatively viewed in collectivist society. There's a quote in Japan that says, "The nails that sticks out is hammered down," because you don't want to see a lot different from other people. You want to be seen as part of the community. European and American culture emphasizes individual independence, but Asian culture is more emphasized interdependence and is more sensitive to social context. Cultural neuroscientists did a lot of research looking into how people from individualistic and collectivistic society think. What they found out is that people from different cultures do not see the world differently, but they think differently. So they might be looking at the same thing, but they are thinking completely different things. In 2003, Shinobu Kitayama, a psychology professor in University of Michigan, did a research. He recruited a group of North Americans and Japanese participants, and he showed them a box, an empty box with a line. And then he showed them another box of different size and asked them to draw a line with the absolute length as the one they saw earlier, regardless of the box. North American participants outperformed Japanese. But then he altered the task. He showed them an empty box and asked them to draw a line with the same proportion relative to the box they have seen earlier on. And this time, Japanese participants had the advantage. And this research shows that Americans pay more attention to details, but Asians pay more attention to context. This is exactly what we found when we did the research for British Medical Journal. We show publications to our European participants, and the questions they have is about the citations and references of the publications. But when we show the same article to our Japanese participants, the question they have is, who also look at this information? What do my peers think about this? So providing the right content to your local users is very important. It might seem like it's a small detail, but it will make a lot of difference. In collectivist societies such as in Asia, people see themselves as deeply connected to other people. They use a lot of instant messaging applications such as audio chat or group chat with their friends, family, or even business contacts. I used to use Facebook to upload photos and update status so that my family back in Malaysia know what I am up to in the UK. But now, everyone in Malaysia, or my friends and family, are using WhatsApp. I'm not sure whether you guys are familiar with that. So it's instant messaging applications. So all the family member is in one group chat. So I can constantly update them about what I'm up to and upload photos for them privately anytime. And I don't feel isolated as well because I get to know what they're up to at the same time. And there are so many instant messaging applications in Asia. For example, this WeChat in China, KakaoTalk in Korea, and LINE by Japan company. And all of them have reached several millions of users in just a few years, and some of them just over a year. And according to a survey, 22% of smartphone users in Korea say they won't buy a smartphone if they don't support KakaoTalk. And sometimes it's not just about understanding the local market so that you can provide them with the right content and the right interface, but also it's about how and where you're going to sell a product. When Zepto Lab decided to launch their mobile games app, Pudding Monsters, in China, through their local partners, they understand that Chinese consumers are more accustomed to getting free digital content. So the way developers get monetized is through in-app purchase or adverts. So in other words, go freemium in China. So just weeks before they launched, they changed their payment strategy in China. And also to combat rampant app piracy, they also decided to distribute authorized version of their app to forums or other free download websites such as AppChina or Wandoujia, because they know that these are the places people will be hunting for games for free. So with these strategies they implement in China, they see there are more daily active users in China than in the US for this game. So if there are two things that I would like you to take away from this talk today, is to understand the importance of studying the whole overall culture of a market that you're getting into. But remember, culture is a big word, and it consists of different aspects. So we talk about three different aspects, which I think they have more influence for people like us, the designers and UX people. And it will be a start, as a good starting point to get into the world. And secondly is to go to see the society yourself or get an expert to bring back a report for you, or collaborate or team up with local partners. Whatever it is, you have to understand the world of your users, because without the local knowledge, Pudding Monsters might just be a small little monsters in China that no one talks about or knows about. So if we don't want to die out and become one of the extinct species in the evolution process, we have to understand the niche where we can survive. And good luck with that, and thank you. Just so you know, within the next half an hour, I'm going to upload slide onto SlideShare with my notes as well, so it makes sense with these diagrams. But it will look like this, because these are my family photos that I take when I was there. Very sociable, isn't it? And I don't think they will like it if I post it publicly. So yeah, thank you.
The IA Summit podcast is sponsored by the UIE Virtual Seminar Program, with scores of online seminars your team can access on demand. For free access to a virtual seminar, visit uie.com/IAS13. And you can find the rest of the IA Summit podcast at library.iasummit.org.